A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest, plus an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Temp check. What kind of summer are we having this year? A family road trip summer, a beach bum summer, or a wake me when the sun sets summer? With Instacart, choose your own adventure and skip the shopping side quests. Where available, you can get ice cream delivered to your hotel, sunscreen to the pool, or cold brew to your bed. Well, door, in as fast as 30 minutes. Wherever you find yourself this summer, you can get the goods. Download Instacart for free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum $10 per order. Excludes restaurants. Additional terms and fees apply.
Chris Harrington on 92.9's Jeff Calkins Show.
Chris, what are we listening to?
That is the late 60s psychedelic band Love, featuring Native Memphian Arthur Alexander on lead vocals. Bummer in the summer in honor of Zach Edey not playing in the Summer League game last night.
Admittedly, I probably have some PTSD, and while I know these two things are not the same, I found my reaction when I saw Drew's tweet about Zach not being in the lineup, just because it was something to watch. I kind of found myself having the same feeling as when I read the Woj bomb that Steven Adams was going to miss the year.
I mean, come on.
Nothing else to watch.
He twisted his ankle. Like, you know, I mean, they're being cautious to a fault with Summer League basketball, which is not surprising. I would hope this is not a shut him down situation going into Las Vegas. Like, it didn't, I mean, it wasn't like an ankle injury that took him out of a game. He kept playing the whole game and played really well. And so, like, this is such a minor little thing, it seems. It's Summer League, so it only matters so much. But I think there's benefit to him playing in the league if he is healthy, and there's benefit to us to watching him play. And so I certainly hope we have not seen the last of Zach Edey this summer.
I will say it did not get better for me when I read Drew's story up over at Daily Memphian, and I read Jason Marsh's quote. It was fine up until the beginning, because I was sitting there thinking, I was like, all right, twist his ankle, we'll see him in Vegas. Like, that's where everyone, you know, there's going to be way more attention on Vegas, we'll see him. But then when I did see when Jason Marsh added the, I will tell you one thing, that boy wants to play, Listen, I consider myself an expert in coach speak. That is the right. That's the line that you use when he's not going to play.
No, that's a good point. We'll see. I don't have any real insight on that beyond, you know, what we know and what Drew's written. We'll see. I think I would hope that he would show up on the court in Vegas, but we'll find out. Either way, like, you know, it's not going to have that much impact on the season to come, but it would certainly be nice to see him out there.
What's your gut say? No reporting. Like, does your gut say we'll still see him?
I think so, just because this is not, unless there's something we don't know, this is like an extremely minor situation, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, literally, he played the rest of the game. I think he's fine. And I think this is someone who needs to get acclimated to teammates, needs to get acclimated to system, needs to get acclimated to playing style, and I think there's value for him in this. And there's also some level of value to the team and, like, you know, getting people excited about him, you know? And so I would hope that he would play, and I'm going to guess he will, but I don't have, like, certainty about that.
Honestly, the biggest reason, other than selfishly, I just find it more interesting watching him play, because I think he's going to be a big part of the team next year. I totally agree with your point, though. to me, it's the style of play more than anything, because they're going to ask him to play something completely different than he's ever played. Like, to me, that's what I want more reps with.
Yeah, no, getting used to that pace, getting used to, you know, not getting the ball, he needs to get the ball in the post some because he's really good at it, but not having that be the focal point of the team, you know, like that, that's a every once in a while thing. That's not a, like, this is what we're trying to accomplish every time down the floor thing. And, like, the more reps he can get, like, sort of playing that role and getting used to the system and the pace and everything, I think will help him going into training camp.
I hope we see him again. And again, like, it is one of those ones where, because it is summer league, like, I would understand if we don't. But at the same time, it's like, selfishly, I find it a much better watch. Is the GG All-Star campaign back on?
I don't know. He was a lot better, certainly. I think the game one was an outlier. It was the kind of outlier that you may see again from time to time, but it was an outlier. And last night was a good game. It was not an overwhelming game for a player who already has NBA experience in a summer league. It was not to the conversation about shutting players down or not. A lot of times when players are good, people will proclaim they're too good for summer league. You got to shut them down, which I don't totally understand. But that was not a too good for summer league kind of performance. That was he was good. He made shots. He was a little bit more under control. But it was not an overwhelming, like, eye-popping, you know, game by him or anyone else. But you know, and so I think that was good for him to sort of get back on track a little bit. And I would hope that, you know, we will see him plenty in Las Vegas.
It is kind of nice to have the consistency of watching the Grizzlies summer league team not be able to hit threes either.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's better when it's that shooting problem is coming from the guys who aren't, like, going to be playing.
Correct.
Than when it's coming from the guys who are going to be playing.
Yes.
But, you know, it's a ragtag brand of basketball, and so we'll see. But I thought Gene, you looked pretty good. Trey Jimison obviously had a good game. You know, Scottie Pippen was missing shots but played well down the stretch. Those are the only guys who really matter. I really liked the guard for OKC, who was a second-round pick for them, A.J. Mitchell.
Yeah.
Who was like a small college guy, but like a multiple season small college guy. A lot of people thought he was an interesting sleeper in the draft. I thought he looked really good, actually.
No, every time I watch the Thunder play, like in summer league and all this, I always just find myself like, where does Sam Presti like find all these guys? Like, I feel like they have a very good eye for talent.
They do. They don't all work out. They had like a lottery pick in year two out there. He didn't look like much to me. You know, Usman Ging or whatever, but I like the rookie guard out there.
Yeah. Anything else particularly catch your attention? I mean, it is funny, like, we're focusing on Edie, but it's like, LaRavia didn't play either. So.
You know, the Trey Jimison thing is interesting to me. I was thinking about it more. I think we talked about this a little bit maybe yesterday in terms of the role you want to get out of that sort of, you know, big on the two-way, especially if they don't add a fifth big to the main roster. And my thinking sort of evolved into that a little bit. My initial thought was that he doesn't give you enough versatility. Because I think the issue with the team's front court is what combinations work when Jaren Jackson's not on the floor. And, you know, because I think you have a problem where Zach Edey and Brandon Clark probably can't really play together. And if you look at Trey Jimison, like, he's not going to play with Zach Edey, period. And I don't know how well he would play with Brandon Clark either. But the more I think about it, the reality is if you have Jaren or Santi out, the players still in that role, soaking up those minutes, are not going to be your fifth big. They're going to be Gigi Jackson and Jake LaRavia. And so you really need a backstop for when Zach Edey or Brandon Clark are out. And given that Brandon Clark coming off a major injury, that's probably the most likely of the four to miss games. So maybe having that fifth big be like a big physical center is not the worst thing, because he's probably only going to play with one of those two guys that's not available.
Presuming good health, along those same lines, what's the front court duo that you think we'll see the most?
I mean, I think Jaren and Zidi, Jaren Jackson and Zach Edey are going to start. It's an interesting question in terms of most
right.
minutes.
Right, because that's the reason why I phrased it.
Yeah, I think you may see Jaren and Edey start and Jaren and Clark close.
Yeah.
But Jaren can't play all the minutes. And so, to me, the real question is, what combination do you see the most that does not include Jaren? And that's going to have Santi Aldama in it, you know, unless it has a Gigi Jackson or Jake LaRavia in it. So what's going to work better? Is Santi and Brandon Clarke going to work better, or is Santi and Zach Edey going to work better? And whichever one of those two combinations works better, I think could log a lot of time on the floor.
You kind of got me thinking. So I went back to look. Last year was the most minutes per game Jaren's played. I think it was around 32. Okay. But prior to that, it was...
It's not going to get much higher than that.
Yeah, I mean, prior
anybody
to...
anybody on this team.
Prior to that, it was, you know, somewhere in that 26 to 28 range for the most part. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what you're thinking, right? I mean, it feels like with 10-man rotations, guys usually play about 32 minutes. Is that right?
Yeah, I think Jaren's number might go up. But if it goes up, it's going to go up to 33. You know, it's not going to go up to 36.
And do you feel like that is simply because he's learned to control the fouls and he stays on the floor a little bit more?
Yeah. I think he'll be able to be on the floor more. I mean, he could have been on the floor more before if they just play him, you know? If they would just let him foul out, he could have averaged 4 minutes. I think he is growing into his body, growing into his game. I think he'll play more. And I also think the team, my guess is they will be less insistent on 10-man rotations like every single night.
Yeah.
You may see some more 8s and 9s, and that may, you know, boost guys' minutes in terms of the top-end guys. But I don't think they're going to play anybody 35-plus, like anybody on the roster. And so, there's only so much you're going to go up from 32 in the regular season.
If you had to predict the starting lineup today, what do you think it would look like?
You know, I think Ja, Dez, Jaren are obvious. I think it's going to be Edey. I think it makes a lot more sense. Brandon Clark himself has even said he prefers it when a true big starts and he comes off the bench, right?
Yes.
And so I think it makes all the sense in the world to have Zach Edey in the starting lineup. And then you get to the last spot. I think if it was purely a basketball decision unrelated to all other factors, I would endorse Vince Williams Jr.
From a fit perspective?
But, yeah, I like – it gives you a little bit more size. If you talk about him versus Marcus Smart, it gives you a little bit more size when you're already small. And I think a big thing, and maybe this is a little bit less important with Edey out there, but I still think it's important. He's a really good rebounder for the position.
Yeah.
You know, where Jaren is not, and, you know, your backcourt's small. I like the fit there. I suspect Vince Williams will be a better, like, wide-open catch-and-shoot three-point shooter than Marcus Smart. I mean, that's not certain, but that would be my guess. So I like the fit there with Vince Williams, but the reality is it's not just a pure X's and O's basketball decision.
I mean, to me, like, that's the most interesting thing about this, because it's like, if it were basketball, I think you're right, like purely that, but it feels like it's not. It's going to be more than that.
No, these are people. You know, there are soft factors that go into play. There's the factor of stature, the factor of your place in the locker room, the role you want people to have beyond just the X's and O's role. The respect you have, all of that. So I think Marcus Smart's probably your starter there.
If you had to guess, so I think we would both agree, Ja, Dez, and Jaren feel like they're going to play the most minutes per game, right?
I don't know. I'm not sure. You know, I'll get to my bold predictions at the end of the season, but you may be encroaching on one of them.
I am specifying per game basis, not total minutes.
No, I know.
You want to give a hint?
I think Vince Williams Jr. is going to play a lot, whether he starts or not. I think that dude, Taylor Jenkins, likes playing that dude. And I think he could find his way into a lot of minutes if he's as good as he was last season.
Who do you think? What, if you had to predict Santi's like minutes per game, because I think there's this weird thing of like we focus on all these other things, but you realize like, I mean, Santi's going to be out there a lot. Like, what do you think it'll be on a per game basis?
Yeah, it's what Santi are you? Let's assume Santi's there going into the season, which I think is likely. I mean, he is sort of in an odd situation where he is eligible for an extension. It doesn't feel like he's going to get this summer, and so what do you do with that? I have no feel that the Grizzlies are trying to move off of anyone that's projected in their top 10 players right now. But if something unexpected happened, he's probably the most likely person that it would happen to. But if you assume he's on the team, what's he going to be? He was really up and down and erratic last season. If he comes in and is playing well, he could really push. I mean, he could be ahead of Brandon Clark in the total minutes. Easy, because Brandon Clark is not a heavy minutes guy. And if you find out with Edey that, like, you know, he's really more effective in 20 minutes than 30, you know, as a rookie, I think Santi has a chance to surprise people with how often he plays. I think that's certainly true.
Yeah, I now that you've got me thinking about this Vince Williams, because like either he starts or it feels like he's the sixth man that's going to play so much because he'll play with both groups.
He is a guy, like, he's sort of like Jared. He really is like, you know, Jai, Joke last year, like they're brothers or whatever. Yeah. He is perimeter Jared in that he's a top-notch defender, but he fits with any lineup. He's sort of a skeleton key kind of player the way Jaren is. You could throw him out there with any combination and it works. And I think there's that, his ability to play big minutes. And if you go back and look at his game logs last season, even when there were other options, like Taylor Jenkins, it was wild how many minutes he was giving Vince Williams Jr. If Vince Williams Jr. is good, I think he's going to be. He might pop 30 minutes a game even coming off the bench. Like, it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, and I really think like a big part of it is you can easily fit him into both groups, and to me, like, right, that's kind of where you start to log up the minutes. It's like, all right, maybe you can, if he's not starting, he's still going to play a lot with the starters, and then he's going to be the primary guy in the second unit. Like, that's kind of where you rack up the minutes.
Yeah, no, I think if he's as good as he was, if everything we saw last year is real, he's going to play a big, big role. And in fact, Zach Kleiman even literally said that, you know, in his final media session after the playoffs. Like, we were expecting Vince Williams to have a big role. Like, he volunteered that. So I think they're expecting Vince Williams to be very important for the team this season.
When we get to the end of the season next year, what do you think the GG minutes line looks like?
The GG stuff's going to be interesting because his ceiling is higher than Vince Williams. You know, his ceiling is higher than Jake LaRavia. It's higher than John Conchar. It's higher than Luke Kennard. You know, going forward, it's higher than Marcus Smart. You know, there's no guarantee he ever hits the stature Marcus Smart has hit in his career. But, like, projecting out forward, he's got a higher ceiling, certainly. But at the same time, it's go time now for the Grizzlies. It's win time. It's not, you know, you want to develop these guys, but the number one thing is you're winning the game in front of you every single night. And so what happens if Jake LaRavia has a stronger preseason than GG Jackson? You know, that's an interesting decision for the coaching staff. You know, what happens if GG Jackson sort of goes to a slump, as he probably will at some point? Like, you know, is he out of the rotation or is he just down to, like, your 10th man playing 8 minutes? Then again, if he pops, I think the variance with GG Jackson is extremely wide this season, but I think it's a different situation than last year in terms of who he's playing with, in terms of the team goals, you know, in those games.
Well, I definitely don't think it's any coincidence. I know everyone focused on when they made the coaching changes, everyone really focused on the offensive scheme. But to me, the most important through line was all of these guys had development backgrounds. And it makes all the sense in the world to me. Like, if you're going to have so much money tied up into three guys, like, your development's going to be key around them. But then I started thinking about, I don't ever think the Warriors were particularly good at development.
Right.
I mean, how much of that is the Warriors' fault versus, hey, they had their team? Like, and you know what I mean? Like, it's,
right.
I do think that's a tough balancing act between win now mode and developing guys.
Well, it's a tricky thing because if you look at the Grizzlies setup, you know, there's 10 guys on the roster, but you can break it. There's two sort of main groups. You got your big three all under big contracts in Ja, Jaren, and Dez. Then you have three guys. All three young players all on three-plus-year cheap deals. Vince Williams Jr., G.G. Jackson, Zach Edey.
Yeah.
That's sort of your second wave. Well, Zach Edey has a straight line to the starting lineup, and Vince Williams Jr. is, like, just more polished. And so there's going to be less potential conflict in playing them versus in terms of winning with them on the floor. So if the G.G. Jackson thing, it could go any which way. And so, that, you know, and so how do you, if there's a conflict between that, how do you sort of accomplish both goals in terms of maximizing what you can do right now, but making sure you're bringing him along because he is important to you long term, you know?
Well, and also, like, it is funny, like, player development to me has kind of become a buzzword because, like, on the one hand, it's like, I think it's kind of tough to develop guys if they're not playing, but you know what I mean? Like, it seems, it's like, I know the Spurs will always get credit, but really, like, I give the Heat credit. Like, what is it that the Heat do? Because it feels like they do a very good job of still trying to be competitive while finding guys and bringing them along.
Yeah, and you know, I do think it's important for guys to play, but, like, there's a lot happening outside of those games, too. And whatever the Heat are doing, they're doing a very good job of preparing guys for the moment when they get into those games. And so I really think part of as much focus as there's been on, like, the offensive strategy stuff, I think the level of coaching overhaul the Grizzlies had is more player development oriented. And I think it's more, even more directed towards wanting to do a better job outside of the 48 minutes times 82 games of developing their players. And so that's something that's hard to evaluate from afar because you're not in the gym watching it most of the time. But I do think a lot of what they've done with their coaching staff is geared towards that.
Did you catch any of the international friendly last night?
I didn't. It's not surprising to me that the Joel Embiid stuff was a little wonky.
Yeah.
I know they need bigs, and that was a problem in FIBA. But we just watched this dude, like, drag himself up and down the floor in a playoff series, like, a month ago or 2 months ago. I'm not crazy about him being on this team from both the team perspective and his perspective.
Because I don't know. Like, I didn't love the move.
Yeah. I think with Davis and Bam, and you could have brought another, you know, I know Jaren had a bad FIBA, but, like, that was then, this is now kind of thing. You could have brought him or Chet Holmgren or somebody. I don't really love Embiid on the team. That was one of my reactions. But the other thing was I saw some of the highlights, and then, like, the basketball fan in me sort of had the realization, oh, yeah, LeBron James and Steph Curry playing together in games that matter, this is cool. You know, and so I am interested in watching that when the games start to matter.
Yeah, I got this question on another show. And it's like, why did the All-Star game used to matter so much? It's like, well, we couldn't see everything. And it was like the one time that you could see all these guys on the floor together. And I think it feels like Team USA kind of recreates that magic.
Yeah, there was no YouTube. There was no League Pass. There was no whatever at one point, you know. And so
we got Bulls games on WGN, whoever, you know, we got the national games. But
the NBC game on Saturdays or Sundays or whatever.
Yeah. And that was really, really all that we got. We're getting ready to give away Goo Goo Dolls tickets. I have the bold stance that I think Goo Goo Dolls better than Pearl Jam. How do you view the Goo Goo Dolls? Because they have this weird career where, like, they went from, like, being, like, the spiritual successor to the Replacements to, like, never, like, stopping touring.
I mean, you're hurting me with that. I've heard it before, but, I mean,
Resnick worships the Replacements.
Yeah, I know, but I don't want to come out like anti-Goo Goo Dolls. I don't really care about them. Mm-hmm. I think they are kind of a watered-down version of that sort of 80s, early 90s American indie rock scene, Replacements, REM, all of that. They're sort of a step removed and sort of a watered down version of that.
It feels like they figured out a way to, like, be that on the radio.
Yeah. I don't find them that interesting, honestly. Pearl Jam's a band I've always struggled with because I respect Pearl Jam, but I don't like Eddie Vedder's singing style. And I think it has been a net negative for the world because it has influenced far worse singers. I think, you know, your Creeds and Nickelbacks of the world, that they sort of get that vocal styling partly from Eddie Vedder. And I think Eddie Vedder comes to it honestly, and I think he's inspired a lot of worse bands. And so, I respect Pearl Jam a lot, but I don't really enjoy them that much.
A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest, plus an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom?
Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.